Grace to you and peace from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It was years ago, the first time I ever went to an IKEA store. You ever been to one? They are a fascinating place. It's like you're on a tour guide of, well, basically poorly made shelves that all click together. That's kind of what an IKEA is. You got to like follow a path and you just look at these various room setups. And I remember it was very interesting. And honestly, it was actually kind of fun. But then we made a horrible mistake right at the end. We bought something. Bought like three shelves, if I remember correctly. The same shelf three different times. The same thing. And we took it home. And I remember I took it home and I got out the instructions, and I started putting it together. And I don't know if anybody has ever done this before, but I was about halfway through, I decided that I knew better than the directions, because they just didn't make any sense. There was no sense to them. And so I just decided that I knew better, and so I started putting all the stuff on, and it worked just fine. I mean, let's face it, my way was like twice as fast, and it worked just fine until the last board. You know, as it turns out, there's a reason they had us doing it the way they had us doing it. And right as I got to that last board, I realized that it was not going to go together. I had made a critical error. And because of that error, guess what I had to do? I had to take it all apart again. Just to get that last, because the last board was pretty crucial. The whole thing stood up because of that last board. And so I had to take it apart, and then I had to put it back together again, just the way the directions told me to do it. Now, the one fortunate thing is after that experience, the other two shelves were easy. I had experience then. I knew what I was doing. But how many of you guys are like me? Like, right, you're a little bit of impatience in there. You see it, you think you figured it out, and then you're like, I got this, I know this, I'm better than the directions. And you got that little bit of impatience that kind of goes with it. Because if that's you, the parable today is for you. The parable that Jesus teaches is a parable that's just for you. Now, don't get me wrong. If that's not you, if you're one of those people that has that incredible patience that seems to stretch for miles and miles, the text is actually for you as well. But it's especially for those people that maybe have that little bit of impatience kind of mixed into them. The story is about a judge and a widow. It's two wildly different, opposite ends of the societal structure. On the one hand, we have a judge. Now, when you think of a judge, do not think of a judge in modern-day America. They had similarities, but they also had differences. This was a judge of the law, sure, but it was also a judge of God's law. Remember, there was no separation of church and state, especially in the nation of Israel. Even Rome gave up some of the governing structure so that their people could, in essence, govern themselves, as long as they didn't cross Rome. And so this person had to be a master of Roman law, but also a master of Jewish law and the ability to read through Holy Scripture and to understand what Holy Scripture meant and how it applied. It was a really important person, a necessary person. But what happens when that person no longer really believes in the Word of God, no longer cherishes the Word of God, no longer cares what God's Word says about him? What happens when that person that's supposed to be truly righteous and not thinking of themselves, especially when they make calls and decisions, decides to be selfish? Decides to only think of themselves. And then on the other side of it, we have a widow. Now, as we talked about last week with Ruth and Naomi, a widow didn't have a whole lot. Now, if she had sons, at least she had someone to carry on the name and take care of her. But if she had no sons, She was at the mercy of whatever society gave to her. She could work, she could glean from the fields to get something to eat, perhaps. But she had no land. She had no income. She was completely at the mercy of society. A society that in many ways was guided by people like Pharisees, scribes, and judges. And so this widow, sensing an injustice, goes to plead her case to a judge, an unrighteous judge, who refuses, really, to pay attention. But she is not done yet. You see, she keeps going and going and going. And after a while, this unrighteous judge makes a call. The call? He's going to do what the widow wants. Not because he thinks it's really the righteous and good thing to do. Not because he thinks that it's great and obeys the law of God. No, he's going to do it. And to be blunt, he's going to do it to shut her up. He wants her to stop talking. He wants her to quit bugging him. And so Jesus this morning has us look at this scenario, look at this story, and says, do you really think your heavenly Father is worse than this judge? Worse than this unrighteous judge? That if you pray to him, he's just going to ignore you? That he's just going to ignore you over and over and over again? No, of course not. For the widow, it must have felt in the moment like hopeless prayer, like she was just praying over and over again for something that felt so hopeless. And she kept going and going and going. Sometimes, I guarantee you, for us, it can feel that way. Sometimes we keep going to our Heavenly Father, and we don't know the answer, we don't understand the answer, we don't understand why things are the way they are, and we keep pleading our case, we keep going to our Heavenly Father, and it can feel so hopeless. But one of the things I want you to get, not just from the story today, but also from other biblical texts, specifically, actually, I'm going to take us to a place we don't normally go. Last year, we did a pretty good study on the book of Revelation. And one of the unique things about the book of Revelation is that it invites the readers to view things from God's perspective, to see things from the view from heaven. And whenever you start viewing things from heaven, it can really, truly change your perspective. It can change how you view things. And yes, it can even change your prayers. A lot of times when we go to our Heavenly Father in prayer, we don't quite understand the answer because we already think we know the answer. And sometimes the answer is wait. Just wait. Sometimes the answer is no, and we don't understand why the answer is no. We don't understand why God would deny us whatever it happens to be. And maybe at some other point in your life, you will look back and you'll go, wow, if that would have happened, then my life would be wildly different, and a lot of good things would have been missed. Or maybe you don't see it. Maybe the answer is no, and it won't happen for 3 or 4 generations down the line, and you never get to see it. Maybe from that heavenly view. And then sometimes the answer is yes. God responds to our prayer. But here's the other part. God loves our prayer. Our Heavenly Father loves it when you pray to Him. Even if you're coming to Him over and over and over again, God loves your prayer. He loves that conversation that He has with you. He loves that time that you spend going to Him. Our Heavenly Father loves you and loves to hear from you. I always like to talk about this in terms of a parent and a child. How many of us who have experienced that, or maybe as an aunt and an uncle, truly never wanted to hear from that two-year-old again. Even after they came over and over and over again, I'm guessing that most of us, after the 40th time they showed up asking us the same question, said the same thing. It was getting a little annoying, but that's cute. That's still cute. Our Heavenly Father loves us. He wants to hear from us. He wants to know what your pains are. He wants to know what your problems are. He wants to know what's going on in your world. And yeah, of course, He knows it already. He's God. He is your Heavenly Father. But how much do you think you know what's going on in the life of that two-year-old? You still like it when they come up and talk to you. You still like it when they come up and talk to you about what's going on and their frustrations and what they want and what they don't want. And even though you know why you won't let them touch the hot stove, they're frustrated because they don't get that. Your Heavenly Father knows you. He loves you. And He wants to hear from you. And yes, it's not hopeless prayer. But in fact, it's actually hopeful prayer. It's prayer to our Heavenly Father who loves us so much He sent His Son for our sake, so that He could spend not just these little brief moments with us, but that He could spend all of eternity with us. For those reasons, He forgave us our sins. Through the very blood of Jesus, we have been cleansed. We have been redeemed. We have been reconciled with our Heavenly Father. That means our relationship has been restored. And in that restoration, guess what? We can approach our Heavenly Father. We can approach Him through prayer, hopeful prayer. We might not get the answer we want, but we will always have a Heavenly Father there ready to listen. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.